Hey, welcome to Hope City's podcast. We're so excited that you chose to listen to us, and we hope you enjoy today's message.
Amen. Good morning, everybody. I'm so glad you're here. My name's Pastor Jason, if I haven't met you yet. I'm so excited to be able to speak today. Listen, last Sunday and over the weekend, so for Easter egg, for the giant Easter egg hunt, we had over 1,200 people. And then last Sunday was our largest Sunday in history. We had over 425 people here between the two services, and seven people gave their lives to Jesus. Come on, let's get some excitement there. That's what it's all about, right? And listen, God is doing incredible things. Thank you for inviting. We gave away the gift cards. We had some people earlier. We talked about that for all the shares. Thank you, everyone that shared. Thank you for getting it out on your social media. We so appreciate it, and we're grateful for all your help. It's just awesome. And so this morning, we're going to dig into Matthew, and I love this. We're going to be looking at what do we do in the middle of storms. When storms happen in our lives, what do we do? Because storms are going to come up. How do we walk through those storms? How do we make it through those storms? How do we thrive and not just survive? God's calling you to be a rock, especially when storms come up. I think we have a couple of choices. We can either be a rock or we can be a tumbleweed that just tumble from side to side and we live by our feelings. And here's what the thing is. A rock stays firm in the middle of storms. A rock stays firm right where God has called us to be. You know what? If you've got your Bible, will you lift it up? We want to look, everybody with your physical Bible, we're encouraging, good job. We're encouraging everybody to bring your physical Bible. If you don't have one, we have one in the back we want to give you. But will you declare this with me? This is my Bible. That was weak. This is my Bible. It's the very word of God. Every word in this book is true. Inside this book is the very direction for my life, and I choose to follow it. This is my Bible. And I love it. Amen. Now listen, don't just let this thing get dust, all right? Take it home, open it, live in it, breathe in it. But listen, we're called to be a rock. And here's the thing about storms. They can come up in your life when you least expect it. And we're all going to face storms. You could go home today and get a call that turns your life upside down. What are you going to do? Rise up in faith or fall apart in fear? Are you going to be a rock? Because listen, our families need rocks. Our church needs a rock. People that will stand firm no matter what kind of the storm comes into your life. You need to be a rock. And we need to be ready. Don't be surprised when storms come into your life. Listen, be expecting it. If you're doing something for God, be expecting storms to come up. Be ready for them. Don't be surprised when they come up. Listen, we're beginning a new sermon series today called Everything to Lose. That call that Jesus makes is the call of complete surrender. And you can see it, everything to lose, and I'm willing to, and I'm going to be a rock. I'm going to hold firm. I don't care what goes on around me. I don't care what kind of wind and waves. And listen, I don't know in Oregon, I'm not sure we really grasp what storms do. If you live out in the Midwest, if you've ever lived out there, and those giant tornadoes are coming after you, all right, and it rains buckets. Like here, when it rains, we have wimpy rain. All right, it rains a little bit, it might but it's not like in the Midwest, all right? And it's so funny, and I should have brought a tornado siren in here today to play it, but I didn't. I didn't even think about that till a little earlier. But it was so funny, Paula and I are totally different when storms come, all right? When those tornadoes come, Paula goes standing outside and watching them, all right? She's like, I'm going to watch this. I'm down in the tornado shelter, hunkered down, like totally hiding, all right? Some of us in our lives, when storms come, you're like that. You're down in the hunker down, and you're in the shelter. There's others of you that dance in the middle of a storm, right? And I think we've been called to dance in the middle of a storm. I think we've been called to rise up in those storms. But here's this call. You must be willing to give God everything. It's the call he made to his disciples in Matthew and in the New Testament. We've been in the book of Matthew for a little while. It still is a call he calls us to today. There is a cost to following Jesus and completely giving him everything. And I want to tell you something. When you surrender and you give Jesus everything, you will truly find life and life more abundantly. The disciples modeled what this looked like for us. Jesus would come to the disciples. He said, come and follow me. And immediately, they dropped everything they were doing and they followed. They were willing to lose it all to gain everything. I want to set this portion of scripture up. As we're in Matthew 14, the next scriptures we're going to walk through. Open your Bibles to Matthew 14, 22 through 23. It says this, immediately after this, Jesus insisted that his disciples get back in the boat and cross to the other side of the lake while he sent the people home. After sending them home, he went up to the hills by himself to pray. Night fell while he was there alone. So you got to read the Bible in context. What was happening before this moment? A couple weeks ago, we talked about what was happening. So immediately after this, what was after this? What had happened? If you remember back, King Herod had a woman dance in front of him, in front of the king. And the king liked it so much that he said, listen, I will give you anything you ask for. And the request was from the woman that danced was, give me the head of John the Baptist on a platter. Now, here's the important thing to understand about this. John the Baptist was Jesus' probably closest relationship, right? He was a cousin to John the Baptist. John the Baptist was about 6 to 8 months older than Jesus was. He baptized Jesus. And we remember that Jesus was 100% man and 100% God, which means he would feel the same things we feel, right? So here, all of a sudden, Jesus hears about his cousin being brutally murdered. If you ever wonder if Jesus understands what it's like to lose somebody, I can promise you he does. He knows what it's like. He's experienced it. And I always challenge when you get into Scripture to put yourself in the shoes of the people that we're reading about. Imagine what it would have been like for Jesus to hear that his cousin had been killed and brutally murdered. I mean, when you think about this, what it would have looked like and what it would have felt like. John and Jesus were so close. The Bible tells us that when Jesus heard this, he left right away to go to a deserted place. He wanted to grieve in private. More than likely, he wanted to get away for a moment just to breathe and walk through his feelings. But people followed him. They followed him. There wasn't a moment he couldn't stop the ministry because people were in desperate need. He didn't have a moment to grieve. He really lived out the scripture that tells us that we don't grieve like the world does when we lose somebody. Because listen, we all know if that person loves Jesus and we love Jesus, we're going to see him again. Death is just the open door to to eternity, right? Do you believe that? So we don't grieve the same way. Yes, it's tough, it's difficult, but we don't grieve the same way the world does who doesn't have a hope. We have a hope. Jesus has promised us eternity. That's why it's so important to give your life to him. Jesus met the crowd, and when he met them, the Bible says that he met them with compassion and he healed the sick. In his own grief, he had compassion on others. What an incredible picture. What an incredible picture of living completely different than the world does, that in his grief, he healed people. He had compassion. He didn't say, man, leave me alone. I'm going through a difficult time. It's a powerful model. Our mission stays the same even when we're grieving. We can't disconnect from others. The tendency with grief and death is to withdraw and totally get bound up in it. And that's a storm that comes along, and we're to deal with storms differently than the world does. Jesus shows us what it looks like to grieve and still to minister and love others. He shows us what it's like to continue to move forward even when we might not feel like it. See, here's the thing. When you're a rock, you're firm no matter how you feel. Your feelings don't dictate what you're attached to. When you're a tumbleweed, you just go from whatever you feel. It's just like a crazy like pendulum that you're trying to live life by your feelings. Here's the thing about feelings. Feelings are never reality. You can't live by your feelings. Jesus shows us what it looks like to move forward, even in the middle of a storm. When we then see Jesus do one of the greatest miracles in the Bible. He feeds over 5,000 people with 2 fishes and 5 loaves of bread. He multiplied the fish and the loaves to feed everyone in the crowd. Every physical piece of hunger and spiritual hunger was met that day, and he was grieving in the midst of it. After this miracle was accomplished, Jesus sent the disciples to the boat to go ahead of him to the other side, to the Sea of Galilee. And if you remember, the Sea of Galilee is the same sea the disciples got on back in chapter 8, right? And what happened when the disciples and Jesus got out into the middle of that sea? What happened? A massive storm rose up. Okay, and I'm not talking just a little storm. I'm talking 25-foot waves. I'm talking about wind. I'm talking about things. And got to remember, these guys were seasoned fishermen. So this shouldn't have scared them, But here's the thing. You can never underestimate the power of a storm in your life. Don't ever think, oh, I'm good. I got this covered. I can take care of this on my own. Because I want to tell you something. When a storm comes up, if you underestimate it and you're not ready for it, it can knock you out. So be ready for the storm. I've got water down there. I'm like choking up here. Little commercial break. Thank you. Okay. So they had gotten out in chapter 8. They got out, same sea, a big storm raised up. Jesus now is coming to them in chapter 14 and saying, hey, listen, time to get back out on the Sea of Galilee. You got to go across to the other side. Both times, here's what was in common. Both times they were going over to the Gadarenes and God had an assignment. Okay? Whenever God has an assignment over your life and God has called you to do something, don't be shocked when the storms come up. Because storms are going to come. And I'm sure the disciples in their mind, they thought, okay, we've been on this sea before. We know that storms raise up. Jesus isn't in our boat this time. What's going to happen? Because the last time Jesus was in their boat, and in the middle of that storm, they woke him up and they were panicked, and Jesus calmed the storm. Again, these storms were not small storms. When large storms come into our life and they come up, all of a sudden, be ready. Don't let them knock you off. You're a rock. So they head out again, but this time Jesus wasn't in their boat. They went on their own. They get caught in another storm. As they're in the middle of the lake, and we're going to read Matthew 14, 24 through 33. How many of you have ever felt storm after storm after storm? It seems like there's never an end to the storms that come up in your life. And I want to tell you today, if you'll walk through them, we're going to give you some ways to do that. Okay? Matthew 14, 24 through 33. Meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble far away from the land. For a strong wind had risen, and they were fighting heavy waves. About 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came toward them walking on the water. When the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified. In their fear, they cried out, "It's a ghost." But Jesus spoke to them at once. "Don't be afraid," he said. "Take courage. I am here." Then Peter called to him, "Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you walking on the water." "Yes, come," Jesus said. So Peter went over the side of the boat and walked to the water towards Jesus. But when he saw the strong wind and the waves, he was terrified and he began to sink. "Save me, Lord," he shouted. Jesus immediately reached out and he grabbed him. "You have so little faith," Jesus said. "Why did you doubt me?" Now I want you to hear, okay, here's the thing. I don't think Jesus was going, "Hey, you have so little faith. Like, why are you doubting?" No, I think Jesus said, "Listen, you know me. Why do you have such little faith? Like, I'm here for you. I'm here to pull you out. I'm here to save you. Even when your faith is a little bit low, I'm here for you." When they climbed back into the boat, the wind stopped. Then the disciples worshiped him. "You really are the Son of God," they exclaimed. I think you see two things that happen in these storms. First of all, in the first story, Jesus calmed the storm when they asked. In the second story, Jesus said, "You need to walk through the storm." And I want to tell you, there's a big difference. Because it's easy to keep walking when the storm's calm. A lot harder when Jesus says, "Get out of the boat and walk through the storm and don't let it affect you. I've got you." Jesus wasn't in the boat this time around. The storm was massive. They were far from land. And remember, the sea would get up to 24 feet tall. The Bible says that the disciples were battling the waves. All of a sudden, the disciples look up and they see a figure coming towards them walking on water. At first, they thought it was a ghost. And I think it's interesting because they had all known Jesus. Right? They all knew who Jesus was, but they didn't see him. So many times in the middle of the storm, Jesus is right there and we miss him. And a lot of times in the middle of the storm, God will speak very quiet and he'll whisper to you. He's not yelling at you in the storm. So that means he likes to be close beside us. Get to know him. Get to hear his voice. He could be right beside him, right beside you when you're asking God, "Where are you in all of this?" And I love what Peter said to Jesus. He said, "Hey, if it's you, tell me to come to you. Walking on the water." Peter then jumped out of the boat. And the thing is, the moment he took his eyes off Jesus and he put them on the storm, that's when he began to drown. Guys, we got to have our eyes on Jesus, not on the storm and the wind and the waves all around us. Because you'll go down. If you're focused on the storm more than you're focused on Jesus, that's where we get into trouble. And that's why Jesus looked at him and said, you have such little faith. And Peter, and then came back with a tough question. Why do you doubt me? They climbed back in the boat, and the wind and the waves stopped. And then the disciples worshiped him, saying, you really are the Son of God. There's so much to learn in this small portion of Scripture about walking with Jesus. There's so much to learn about the storms that come up in our lives. Every one of us are going to face storms. You might be sitting here today going, man, life's going great. Well, get ready. There's probably a storm coming. Get ready, because you could be turned upside down with a storm that comes into your life. What do you do when those storms come? The disciples had been in a storm with Jesus before. They saw him speak to the storm to calm it, yet they were still terrified. When Jesus was walking towards them, they didn't recognize him. They thought he was a ghost. Their fear caused them to miss the fact that Jesus was right there with them. And I want to tell you, no matter what storm you're walking through today, Jesus is right there with you, and he's going to walk you through it. There are going to be times that he calms the storm, and then there's going to be other times that he says, get out of the boat and walk through the storm. What does the boat represent? The boat's our comfort zone. That's where we're comfortable. God is not concerned about your comfort. He's concerned about your growth. And you can only grow when you step out of the boat. Comfort zones become prisons. Well, I'm just not comfortable. Well, sorry, sweetie. All right? God's going to push you through that. Well, I just want to become. The American prayer is that we always live in comfort. But the truth of it is, God pushes you to places sometimes that stretch you. And you got to see what God is doing. You got to have your eyes open to know what he's calling you to do. Trust him. The key is keeping your eyes on Jesus, no matter how big the wind and the waves look. Trust him. He is going to get you through. Be on your guard, because storms can come up quickly. Don't let them catch you off guard. I'm amazed, again, that the disciples had spent so much time around Jesus, but they didn't recognize him in the middle of that storm. Don't miss Jesus in the middle of your storm. Stay so close to him that you always can recognize him, no matter what is going on around you. Don't buy into fear. Listen, there are some people in this room that you'd say, I created this storm that I'm walking through right now. Like, I'm living through the storm that I created. Guess what? He's still the calmer of storms. Sometimes we're afraid to ask Jesus where he's at in all of it, because we created the storm. We made a mess. And I want to tell you, the minute you realize that Jesus came for our messes, if you're a messy person and you've created a storm, he's come for messy people. That's why he came. And if you'll hand over that storm to him, he's going to turn it around, because he loves you. He's going to say, listen, I'm here to pull you out of that storm. For the rest of the time, I want to focus on Peter and how he responded to Jesus. Peter kind of gets a bad rap in the story because he started to sink, but let's be real. He's the only disciple that got out of the boat. In fact, he challenged Jesus to call him out of the boat. Peter had everything to lose that night. There are some, you're in a storm because you asked Jesus to do something and he did it, and now you're right in the middle of it, right? Walk through it and get to the other side. See what he's doing, right? Some of us, we pray and we ask God to do something, and when he does it, we're shocked. Like, oh, I can't believe you did this, God. He might put you in the middle of a storm to grow you and to stretch you and to prepare you for the next season. I love our little grandson, Huddy. Whenever it starts to rain and there's mud puddles and there's mud and dirt and there's a storm, he wants to put his galoshes on and go and dance in the rain and step into the mud puddles. Right? We all want to stay dry. He's like, man, I'm partying in the rain. How about we party in the middle of our storm? How about we say, God, you got this. I'm going to rest in you. I'm going to watch what you're going to do, God. Peter had everything to lose that night. His security in the boat, his credibility in front of the other disciples. Like, what are they going to think if I step out of this boat and I drowned? And his very life. But Peter was willing. He was willing because something deeper was stirring inside of him, a faith that would eventually become his foundation. God is wanting to build your faith and grow your foundation. So in the midst of the storm, you stand firm. He was willing because in the middle of the storm, Peter didn't just see the wind. He saw Jesus standing over it. Listen, God controls all the storms in your life. You don't have to be afraid. No weapon formed against you is going to prosper. No storm formed against you is going to prosper because God has the final word. Peter didn't just see the wind. He saw Jesus. He was willing to step out when Jesus called him. He was willing to do whatever it took to be close to Jesus, even if it meant stepping out of his comfort zone. Some of you need to get out of your comfort zone. Some of you need to push past what you're afraid of. Listen, you go, Pastor, I'm afraid to do it. Well, then do it afraid. Sometimes we got to just do stuff that we're afraid of to break that fear out of our lives. There are times that Jesus asked you to walk through that storm. There's times that he asked you to get out of that boat. There's times that he says, are you willing to lose everything? Because sometimes the path to finding out who we truly are in Christ begins with the willingness to risk everything, your reputation, your comfort, your logic, just to get to Jesus. The path that you may take you right down the middle of that storm. Don't be afraid when you see Jesus, he's going to carry you through it. I also love this. How many of you know Jesus calls us what he sees in our lives even before we are that? You might look at yourself and go, man, this is who I am. But Jesus says, no, this is how I see you. And that's exactly happened with Peter. In Matthew 16, 18, Jesus would say, and this is a little bit ahead, a couple chapters ahead, Jesus said this, now I say to you that you are Peter, which means rock. And upon this rock, I will build my church and the powers of hell will not conquer it. The truth is, Peter was already acting like a rock before Jesus ever called him that. The truth is, he was stepping into his identity. Peter was already becoming that rock long before Jesus ever came along and said that. Listen, and that rock, he did take his eyes off Jesus. He did sink. Jesus saw what he could be and what he was going to become, not what he was. So I want to share with you four truths. Write them down. Four truths about Peter's life that will help you make it through the storms of life. First of all, the storm doesn't define you, your response does. And I know there's a typo there, so for all the English people, that's going to drive you nuts. Okay? Response. And for all of you other people who wouldn't have even noticed it, like me, just let it go. The Bible says that the disciples were in trouble far away from land. The land was their comfort zone. They were in trouble far away from the land where they could get out. And I understand that. They were stuck. They were battered. They were afraid. And here's what fear does. Fear defines most people. Our society today is corrupted by fear. Everywhere we look, we're afraid of something. Everywhere we walk, fear tries to rule our lives. Fear keeps people in the boat. Fear keeps people silent. Fear keeps people small. When a storm comes up, we have a choice to make. Are we going to rise up in faith or fall apart in fear? If you buy into fear, you will fall apart. And you're believing something that isn't even going to happen. The enemy wants to try to convince you that you're going down. And the truth of it is that if you have Jesus on your side, which you do, you will not go down. You will rise above the storm. The challenge of the storms, like I said, on the Sea of Galilee, is they come up fast and they come up intense, like so many storms of life. Don't let these storms catch you off guard. I've said it once. I'm going to say it again. Don't let these storms catch you off guard. Be ready for when they come. And I found a lot of times that these storms may get more intense before they lighten up. So don't be surprised. Hang in there. Be the rock. Peter was willing to rise above the storm. Peter didn't wait for perfect conditions. Okay, God, when it's perfect and it's like glass, I'm going to step out of the boat. No, he's not. If he won't step out in the middle of a storm, he's not going to when it's perfect. You got to step out of that boat. Peter didn't wait for the storm to stop. Peter didn't let fear paralyze him. The truth of the matter is some people are in this room and you've let fear paralyze you. You're afraid of what's going on around you and you need to break that off. Peter simply said, Lord, if it's really you, call me out there. Faith is not built on the absence of storms. Faith is built when you step into them. When the storms of life come, are you hiding in the boat or are you looking for Jesus? Got to remember, fear is false evidence appearing real. So the enemy's going to make all this stuff look like you're going to go down, and you can rise above it and say, listen, my God will not let me drown. Even if I take my eyes off and I start to sink, he's going to reach out and he's going to pull me out of this storm. Doesn't mean the storm's going to stop. But you've got a Savior who's going to reach down and pull you out and going to walk you through this storm. See, I think where we lose it is when the storm doesn't stop, right? We pray and we expect that storm to stop, but it doesn't. That's when we start saying, well, what's going on here? Like, what's happening here? And God's saying, walk through it. I have some things to teach you, and I'm going to be there no matter what it looks like. And no matter how much the storm rages in your life, know that you serve a God that reigns over the storms. He will walk you through them if you trust him. Some of us are exhausted because we're trying to control the storm. How does that work for you? You're trying to control it, and God's saying, walk through it. You're trying to do everything you can to avoid having to walk in a storm. The truth is, you're already in a storm. Walk through it and let God carry you through it. In a storm, a rock is immovable. And I want to remind you, you've been called to be a rock, not a tumbleweed. Two, real faith costs you something. Real faith costs you something. When Peter asked Jesus to call him out of the boat, he wasn't playing safe. He swung his legs over the side of the boat, and he was ready to risk everything, his reputation. What if he sank right away? His safety, he could drown. His logic, men can't walk on water. He had to be willing to give it all. Faith is costly. You can't become the rock God is calling you to be while clinging to the boat of comfort. It may cost you everything. How are you going to be a rock if you're never tested? How are you going to be a rock if you've never been tested by a storm? There's moments where you get tested, and God says, really, you want to be a rock? Okay, walk through this storm. God doesn't cause storms, but he definitely uses them. Peter had everything to lose. He was willing to lose it because he believed what he could gain, which was getting to Jesus, was worth more than anything he could lose. You must put your faith into action. You can say you have faith all day long, but real faith is when you put it into action. Real faith is what happens when that storm comes up. Do you fall apart in fear or do you rise up in faith? We can talk about it all day long, but until you've been tested by the storm, you're never going to know. Following your faith will involve sacrifices and challenges. Another thing that Americans don't like, but it's true. It means that you're going to have to give up certain comforts, certain relationships, or certain worldly pursuits to align with your faith. You cannot have a foot in both worlds. I want to tell you, if you have a foot in both worlds, when those storms come, it's going to knock you out. You cannot have a foot in both worlds. You can't be a rock for others if you're still chained to fear yourself. Your family needs a rock. Your church needs you to be a rock. The people in your life need you to be a rock. Point number three, rocks might sink for a moment, but they rise again. Now, that does not even make sense, does it? Because when you throw a rock out there, but work with me here, okay? Peter did something no one else ever did. He walked on water. He also did what we all do, and that is sank. But here's the beauty. When Peter began to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. And Jesus didn't go, how am I going to save you? You didn't have enough faith. No, the minute that Peter cried out, Jesus was right there to pull him out. We believe that Jesus has enough grace to save us when we're sinners saved by grace. But sometimes we forget he has enough grace when we're living for him and we make a mistake. We're all going to sink at a time in our lives. There's going to be moments that you look at and fear overcomes. And I want you to remember the moments that happens, all you have to do is, Lord, save me. Jesus, save me. In fact, you may not even be able to say, Jesus, save me. All you have to do is call his name. The Bible says the name of Jesus is so powerful. You may not know what to say. Just say, Jesus. Call out on him right in the minute that you feel like you're in the middle of that storm. And immediately, Jesus will reach his hand down. Just like Peter, he reached his hand down to pull Peter up, not push him down. That's the kind of God that we serve. The beauty of this story is that when Peter began to sink, Jesus saved him. There are going to be times when you take your eyes off Jesus and you begin to sink and you need to call out on him. And the miracle is that he's always there to save you. Jesus wasn't disappointed in Peter's step. He was developing Peter's spirit. Peter didn't fail. He learned. Peter didn't lose. He grew. Peter didn't sink in shame. He rose in grace. Even when Peter went under, he didn't lose his destiny. Some of us, we've gone under. We made some mistakes, and the enemy's convinced you that you've lost your destiny. I'm here to speak it right now. Your destiny is the same as it's always ever been. So get up and get moving. Your destiny, your purpose, what God has called you to be is still the same. Being a rock doesn't mean that you don't ever stumble. It means you always reach for Jesus when you do. We aren't always going to get things right, and there are going to be times that we stumble and we fall, and Jesus is always there to pick us back up again. Fourth point, the storm ends when you find your worship. Once Peter and Jesus got in the boat, the storm stopped. It's not an accident that after the storm ceased, Peter stepped out, and after Jesus pulled him up, the storm ceased. Sometimes the storm outside of you calms after the storm inside of you is conquered. I want to say it again. Sometimes the storm outside of you calms after the storm inside of you is conquered. And notice what happened next. The disciples didn't just breathe a sigh of relief. They worshiped. They realized Jesus wasn't just a good teacher. He wasn't just a miracle worker, but he was the Son of God. Peter stepping out gave them a fresh revelation of who Jesus was. Worship is a powerful tool. If I can talk today. I love this message because it's so encouraging to me. Worship's a powerful tool to overcome the storms in your life. If you're in the middle of a storm, go home, go to YouTube, and pull up some worship and blast that worship. If you're in the middle of the storm, get your worship on. Get your house filled with praise. Because I want to tell you, there's power when we worship. Power in the middle of the storm. Because when we're worshiping, we're not worrying. Worrying is not going to get you through that storm. And it's not going to make the storm go away any faster. Worship is what you're going to, is what's going to get you through that storm. As we wrap up here, Peter was already becoming the rock even before he was officially named one. Rocks are not defined by stability. They're defined by their response to the storms. Rocks don't cling to the boat. They chase after Jesus. Rocks may sink for a moment, but they rise again. Peter had everything to lose, but he was willing to. Because what he would gain, faith, identity, relationship, was far more worth what he was losing. So where in your life is Jesus saying, come? Are you willing to step out? Some of you have allowed your comfort zone to keep you in a prison. But God, what if I step out? What if that causes an even greater storm? So what if it does? You serve the God who controls the storm. Are you willing to lose what's comfortable? Are you willing to become a rock he's calling you to be? The enemy might be screaming in your head, no, you're not. And Jesus is saying, yes, you are. You are ready for those things. Make a declaration today. I have everything to lose and I'm willing to. Because the storm doesn't get the final word. Jesus does. Trust him enough. And here's what I want you to know. Storms are going to come whether or not you have Jesus. The difference is, if you don't have him, you're walking through that storm alone. If you have him, he's right beside you.
Thank you again for joining us. We want to give a special shout out to those who pour into the mission here at Hope City. If you want to give to what we're doing, you can find us at myhopecity.church/give. Again, we are so excited that you chose to join us, and we hope you have a great rest of your day.